This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What to do in fantasy football with Tyler Warren and Kyle Pitts, two of the intriguing names at tight end. That coming up in 15 minutes on the show, plus a little three up, three down, previewing the baseball card for Tuesday, getting ahead of myself here on a Monday, Tuesday with Major League Baseball. I've got a few plays I like, threw them up at VSiN.com/picks. We'll break all that down and more coming up in the final hour of the program. But football season's here, which means it's time to load up. And at this point in the preseason, it feels like everyone loves the Cincinnati Bengals. I love the Cincinnati Bengals. And normally I get scared when a team I love is trendy. I don't care this year. I am all about Cincinnati, and I believe our next guest is riding the same Bengals wave that we are here on Cashing Out. He's Marco D'Angelo, Wager Talk co-founder, at Marco in Vegas. You can find him on X, and he joins us now on Cashing Out. Are you like me, Marco, when you latch onto a team, you go, God, that's good value, and then you hear everyone else is on it, you get a little bit nervous? I'm normally like that, but in this case with the Bengals, I'm all the way in, and I don't care.
Yeah, Cincinnati has become the trendy pick, and it's why not? I mean, this team, you look at what they've done over the last several years. The big if, and that's the problem when you take Cincinnati, is we need to keep Joe Burrow, you know, healthy. Now, for me to pick the Cincinnati Bengals to win the AFC North, you know, I really got to like them, because you know I'm a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, being from, you know, Pittsburgh originally. You know, I bleed black and gold, but when it comes to money, I like green better. And I think that Cincinnati at plus 165 to win the division and Cincinnati over 10 wins are plays that, you know, I had to make. Remember, this was a Super Bowl team in 2021, Dustin. Then in 2022, they lost the AFC championship game to Kansas City 23-20. They missed the playoffs in 2023. They went 9-7. But if you remember, Joe Burrow missed the final seven games of the season that year. 2024, that was the year that you had your head scratching. Remember, they opened the season 0-3. They ended up 9-8. Straight up, just missing the playoffs. But then last year, 6-11, and again, you had Joe Burrow missing nine games. This is a team that they have a great offense. We know that. They made offseason moves to strengthen the defense. And I hate to say this, but you know, whether you like them or not, Zach Taylor's got the longest tenure in the AFC North of the head coaches right now. So that continuity is going to help as well.
Yeah, I'm playing a dangerous game in my head where I haven't bet all my futures yet, but there's a world where I'm in Bengals Super Bowl, Bengals Division, Bengals AFC, Burrow MVP, Taylor Coach of the Year, Chase Offensive Player of the Year. I'm all about this team this season. Now let's go over to the AFC West. Chiefs are your favorite at plus 160 with Mahomes off an injury. Chargers plus 190, Broncos plus 225, and the Raiders, of course, at 20-1. You like the Chargers here. Sounds like you're a believer in Mike McDaniel, who I love as well, but what's your expectation for the Chargers this season to win that division?
Well, I've got two things, and let's start with the offensive coordinator. Some guys are just meant to be coordinators instead of head coaches, and I go old school, and since we're talking the Chargers, let's bring him up. Norv Turner, you know, they're a guy that was a great offensive mind but just couldn't get it done as a head coach. I think having McDaniel there is going to be a good thing for the Chargers. The other part of it is I'm a firm believer in NFL head coaches. When they take over a team, you don't get that instant overnight success. It's a building process. And I've always said year three is the best year that you're going to see the most improvement on a team. And we don't have to look back too far to confirm that. Wasn't last year three, for Sean Payton, and they had a deep run into the playoffs last year. I think it is the Chargers' turn. And let's face it, you know, Justin Herbert, a lot of people, you know, whether you think that he's overachieved, underachieved, a lot of people are on the ladder, feel that he's underachieved. He's had a lot of different head coaches, a lot of different offensive coordinators. He's going to get another one this year, but I think that you've got the continuity of Coach Harbaugh there for the third year. I like this team. We know that Kansas City's taken a step back. We saw Denver last year, what they did. But if you're going to give me a team and tell me, do you want Bo Nix or do you want Justin Herbert? I'm going Justin Herbert all day long. Give me the Chargers plus 185 to win the AFC West.
Yeah, I'm still one of those Herbert believers too. I don't put a lot of what Brandon Staley did to him in the fourth quarter and hold it against Justin Herbert as well. Marco D'Angelo is our guest, one of the co-founders, wagertalk.com, at Marco in Vegas. You can find him on X. And now we go to the AFC South, where it sounds like Daniel Jones may not be at 100% when the season begins. The Jaguars had a great year. They're plus 245. Indy's plus 380. The Titans are 8-1. You like the favorite here, though, the Texans in that dominant defense. Talk to me about D'Amico, Ryans and company at plus $1.20.
Yeah, I know. It's not a sexy pick at only plus 120, but you know what? I love cashing tickets, and if I can get plus money on something that, you know, I feel they're, you know, the heavy favorite in this division – Jacksonville's the only team I think they can compete with them. I know Indy had a good year last year with Daniel Jones, but that is a big question mark. Can he do it in a second year, especially coming off the injury that he suffered last year? The big question is CJ Stroud. All right. This is a guy that had that breakout rookie season and then hasn't lived back up to it. And then last year's playoffs, oh my God, how bad could you possibly be in the two playoff games? He should have, you know, lost to Pittsburgh if Pittsburgh could have mounted any kind of offense. And the problem is Pittsburgh couldn't, because you're looking at the Houston Texans. I'll go ahead and say it. This is the best defense in the NFL. All right. Now, maybe we'll see some improvement this year from some other teams, but I don't think they've closed the gap enough. I'll ride this Houston defense. This is a team that went deep into the playoffs last year with a quarterback that missed some games and didn't play his best when they needed him the most. If he improves at all in that defense that they have, and as easy as that division is, this is a team that should get a good, finish the season with a good record and maybe vie for home field advantage. I'll go ahead and take Houston to win this division. They just got to get by Jacksonville, in my opinion, and I'm not a big Trevor Lawrence fan.
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy for Houston to potentially be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. I think that much of that defense, C.J. Stroud just has to be like slightly below average compared to what he was a year ago, and they could do that. Chatting with Marco D'Angelo, Wager Talk co-founder at Marco in Vegas on X. Kyler Murray is a Minnesota Viking. Kevin O'Connell has done a lot with less at quarterback. Plenty of weapons, a loaded defense, a win total of 8.5. You want to go over or under on the Vikings this year?
Yeah, I'm all in. Go over on the Vikings. And, you know, you stole my opening line. We got the QB whisperer here, you know, with O'Connell. You saw what he did, 2 years ago with Sam Darnold. We know what Sam Darnold did last year. And, you know, he had the season of his life and took the Seahawks to the Super Bowl. But you got to hit the rewind button and go back to his year in Minnesota. And that was the turnaround for Sam Darnold. And I think Kyler Murray has the opportunity to, you know, I'm not going to give him the same kind of year as Sam Darnold because that would be crazy. But I think the ceiling is very high here. Look at the talent he's got around him receiver-wise in Minnesota. He's never had that kind of talent in Arizona. And whether you like Kyler Murray or not, let's be honest, he has not had the best system to work in, the best head coaches to work in. I think this is a good spot for this team. I like the defense, as you said, and as bad as they were last year offensively, and J.J. McCarthy just never materialized, and don't you think that they're kicking themselves that they didn't keep Sam Darnold last year? Mm-hmm. This is a team that if Kyler Murray gives them any upgrade at all, which I think he can, and he still possesses the running ability if a play breaks down, I think this team can make some noise. They got to 9 wins last year with McCarthy. I think Kyler Murray gets them. I think they can get to 10 wins in this year, and we're looking at 8.5 for a number. I'll go ahead and go over with the Vikings.
Yeah, and at $1.3 million, allows you to fill out that roster a little bit differently than the way things looked in Arizona the last few years. In about 90 seconds, Marco, college football, the Big Ten – Ohio State's a favorite, plus 180. Oregon's plus 240. Indiana's plus 260. Why are you and I going to be right about the Ducks being the champions of the Big Ten this year?
They're loaded. It's just plain and simple. And the fact that Dante Moore came back, big decision for him to come back and raise his stock this year. I like this team. And defensively, they're sound. And what I like about Oregon, remember, they had to come over from the Pac-12, join the Big Ten a couple years ago. And it was an adjustment. You got these West Coast teams playing, you know, at Penn State at noon or Rutgers. This is a situation where they've had the adjustment. They're used to the process now. I think this is a big year, and they are built to be a true Big Ten type school, physicality wise.
100% agree. He's Marco D'Angelo. Check him out on X at Marco in Vegas. Wager Talk as well. Appreciate the time as always, my friend. Love chopping it up with you. Would love to chat throughout the football season as well.
Good luck. Let's cash some tickets this year.
Let's do it. That's Marco D'Angelo from Wager Talk, dropping some great knowledge per usual. He likes Oregon in the Big Ten. I like Oregon in the Big Ten. I actually like Oregon to win the national title. You can read about that in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. With football season right around the corner, you can get the College Football Guide for free with VSiN Pro. Previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, betting systems, and more. That's not all. You'll also get our NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, everything we do at the website. Try it today for $9.99 or lock in a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson here at the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Me here, you there. Appreciate you tuning in. However, wherever you may be doing so, SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. This show has flown by. That's what happens when football's back in our lives. Plenty on Major League Baseball throughout. We reacted to the Cubs and the walk-off win in extras with PCA becoming a 30-30 man with his 30th homer of the year, sending the White Sox home in a victory for the Cubbies. We took a little plus money on them earlier in the program with PCA for your MVP at plus 110. If you missed that or any other great conversation we had earlier in the show, I made the case for UCLA to make the college football playoff at 30-1. Yeah, I know it's a long shot, but Indiana was a long shot. Bob Chesney's followed in Kurt Cignetti's footsteps in the past, and guess what he did? He did exactly what Cignetti did, and Cignetti took his best players to Bloomington. More on that earlier in the show. Alex Rollins, hour number one. If you want to hear some film breakdowns of NFL teams, Brett Cianci on the college football landscape coming this year. He's like me. He likes Oregon to win it all. And Jeff Erickson, about 45 minutes ago on Major League Baseball and fantasy football. You missed any of that. It was a lot. I wasn't planning on listing all that, but I unfortunately did so because I just launched into it. You can go check it out wherever you get your podcasts. With that, we should look back on the day that was here at VSiN, and I do it with a little segment we do called Night Bites.
At 4th-and-1 at midfield, you're up 11. The Raiders really can't do anything.
But they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Night Bites.
I also want to remind everyone, the VSiN NFL Futures Draft is coming up on Thursday. VSiN's on the clock, second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. The reason I bring that up is I heard Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray earlier, before I was on the air on VSiN Primetime, debating how many Dallas Cowboys futures Dave Ross selects. Now, he's not picking at the front end of the draft this year, so it's going to be a little bit more difficult, but I think even like the 3.5 has to be the number. I don't see a world where he doesn't have 4 futures on the Cowboys. 2.5 feels like you're going to have to heavily juice it, right? At like minus $2. 3.5 feels like the right number for futures for Dave Ross in the football futures draft. Coming up, Keyshawn Johnson, now a part of the mix. Nick Bakay, the guru, John Hansen. Don't just watch the futures draft, profit from it, as all the analysis will take place following each pick. We've got a lot of people, and your boy right here is kind of running point on all of this as the host, pray for me. Seriously. Go to whichever God you believe in. Pray that I can wrangle in these personalities here, because we only have a couple hours to do it. It's Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With that, let's get back to Night Bites. And we will begin with Dave Ross, who, I know this will surprise you, talked about the Dallas Cowboys this upcoming season. Week one, it's the Cowboys taking on the New York Football Giants. Right now, we are looking at a line of 2.5. Cowboys are laying it on the road in New Jersey. Total, 48.5. Dave said this about the Cowboys in week one.
If you haven't bet the Cowboys, if you like the Cowboys Sunday night against the Giants, that number's at 2.5. Here's what I would advise. It's probably not going to come down. I don't see this coming down to 2 or 1.5, barring any injury that we don't see in the horizon here at camp in the next couple weeks. That's probably going to hit 3s at some point, if not 3.5s. Big numbers there, those hooks, what they mean in the regular season. If you like the Cowboys, I would play that right now at 2.5 on Sunday night, because that's still a key number inside of 3. Not as big a deal here, even if it came down to 2. But, Jensen, I don't see that happening. I would think, if anything, by the time we're talking about this football game in about 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about a number that's sitting firmly at 3.
Totally agree with Dave there. This thing is going to go to 3. And by the way, once it gets to 3, I think a lot of people are going to come back on the Giants the other way. Maybe that's why it's going to be slow to get there. But I love the Giants catching the points. In fact, I think I'm going to be on the Giants money line when week one rolls around. I think there's an element at play here that people aren't considering. One, even when the Giants have stunk and the Cowboys have been a much better functioning NFL franchise, I won't say they've been great, but they've been a solid NFL team in this span where the Giants have been a laughing stock in the NFC. The Giants have given them a run for their money. And remember, last year when Dallas was good, was better, they went to overtime in Dallas. And it was 40-37. Cowboys won. Week 18, the Giants won, but that was mostly meaningless game where we saw a lot of Joe Milton in that contest. But you go back to 2022, Dallas is 4-3 against the spread versus the Giants. 7-1 on the money line, 4-3 against the spread. Giants cover. Giants cover against the Cowboys. This one's at home. Circa has it at 3 right now. I may have to be betting that before the show is over here, because a couple other elements at play. One, going back to 2007, Dallas just 10-8 against spread against the Giants. Again, for the most part, Dallas has been mostly a better functioning team there. That's at New York in New Jersey. John Harbaugh adds an element of surprise, an offensive scheme that no one has seen yet. The return of Cam Scataboo at running back, the return of Malik Nabers at receiver, another year of Jackson Dart as a pro who I think will take a jump here. I don't know what his ceiling is, but I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be a very above average quarterback at the least here with the mobility. But more importantly, Dallas has no idea how this new regime wants to deploy him. That's why I give them the edge at home, week one, primetime, catching 3. And that when they've been bad, they've covered. And I think they're actually going to be good and can go over their win total. And if they win this game outright, which you can get plus $1.30 on that money line, ooh, that would help that over 7.5 win total I wrote up in the VSiN NFL betting guide, which you can check out right now. All right, let's now go to prop points. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, they were talking tight ends. Tyler Warren, Kyle Pitts, doing a debate between them and their outlook for this season. Here's how it went down earlier in the day, 1 p.m. Eastern on prop points.
Tyler Warren versus Kyle Pitts. Now we're talking here. Now we're talking about some real-life fantasy decisions we have to make. They have the same receiving yard prop, but Warren is going about 2.5 rounds earlier than Pitts on average in the NFFC and early ADP. Do you follow along lines with that, or do you have a different opinion? The number is 774.5, minus 110 is the price. Mm-hmm. What's more likely to cash?
Yeah, I do follow in line with that ADP. I think it's more likely that Tyler Warren goes over this number. Now, you know, Pitts had the better season a year ago from start to finish. He finished with more total yards. So there is, I guess, less for regression relative to last year's numbers for Tyler Warren. But the thing is, Jeff, I just don't want any part of this Atlanta Falcons offense right now. I love Bijan Robinson. He's really the only piece I would trust right now in fantasy football. You know, with how last year ended, I think we do forget how good Tyler Warren was for the first 2/3 of the year. He had over 600 yards in his first 10 games, only 200 yards in his final 7. That entire offense fell off after Daniel Jones went down. But this is a guy who's a first round pick for a reason.
Yeah, I love Tyler Warren this year. A couple elements at play. One, 774.5 receiving yards. I'm on the over. Pittman gone. Pierce injured, Downs not 100% either, but also he's not a feature number one receiver. With Daniel Jones in the lineup, Tyler Warren, 53.8 yards per game, 17-game average with those numbers, that's 914 yards. That is way over 774.5. Need Jones to be healthy, obviously, here, but they also face some really bad defenses, defending tight ends from a year ago. They'll see the 32nd, 31st, 28th, 29th, 28th, 23rd twice, and 22nd twice from a year ago. Sure, some of those defenses will improve, but a lot of guys not great at defending tight ends. Eight of their games will be versus bottom 10 defenses versus tight ends. And then Kyle Pitts, it wasn't until Kirk Cousins took over after week 12, really week 13, where he went off. Weeks 1 to 12, 4.5 catches, 41.7 receiving yards per game, one touchdown. Week 13 through 18, 6.5 catches, 78.2 yards per game, and four touchdowns for Kyle Pitts. I just don't think Tua is going to be able to get him the ball. I go with Tyler Warren all day long. Now let's go to Money Moves. JVT on the air everywhere earlier in the day. He had this to say about Jordan Love and the Packers this season.
So is this going to be another year in which this balance or this offense lacks balance, where they're going to rely on the explosivity of this passing attack and Jordan Love? And while I do think Love is very good, you do have to be a little worried because, yes, Love ran for 3,700 yards, passed for 3,700 yards, threw for 27 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. He was second in EPA per play among quarterbacks. Turnover with the play rate was better last year at 2.6%, but a potentially weaker wide receiver room could be a slight problem. Romeo Dubs is gone. I think you question whether or not investing in Christian Watson is the way to go. He played in just 10 games last season, 10 or fewer in two of the last three seasons. Most played in the year 2024, it was 15, so maybe that's going to be the case as we move forward. You never want to assume injury, but it's been part of Watson's story up to this point. Matthew Golden is solid. He had 46 targets last year. And then, of course, Tucker Kraft coming off the ACL injury. That is, I think, going to be a slight question. Was just cleared for 11-on-11 drills, but is he going to hit the ground running right away? I think that's going to be a question. Maybe by the end of the year, you're going to be fine. But that's all, right? All of this comes together at the beginning of the season. It's Micah Parsons coming back. It's Tucker Kraft coming back. You have a lot of serious issues injury-wise that guys have to ramp up and be better. So maybe by the end of the year, they're going to be effective. But do you get off to a slow start?
Yeah, he's 100% right. No Micah Parsons, no Jeff Hafley. The defense carried them for a large portion of last year. They still have weapons on offense. I know they lost a couple receivers, but Watson's back. Golden's in his second year. Jaden Reed has popped at times. They have plenty of backups. Savion Williams, Bo Melton, who've played it in the past. But if the defense isn't what it was a year ago, I can't believe in this team. I would have to lean under 9.5 wins on Green Bay in 2026. How about MVP? What do the numbers say we should be looking at? That's next on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Cashing Out, Dustin Sweetelson coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Broadcasting as always, SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. It's amazing when I look up and I see any teeth left in my head because I've been getting my teeth kicked in baseball the last couple weeks. Thought I was going to have a really good Monday. Felt like, you know what, 50-50. I took a couple plus money dogs. Orioles had a chance, blew that lead. The White Sox, first five. I said, you know what, I don't want to mess with the bullpens. White Sox, first five, plus $1.30. They have the lead in the bottom of the fifth, two outs. They make errors. Leads to a couple runs for the Cubs. Cubs then win the first five. Cubs win it in extras. I would have been sick if the White Sox won that game outright and I avoided the full game and I only bet the first five. So I'm actually kind of happy the Cubs won that thing. But reality is, right church, wrong pew. That's kind of been the theme for baseball. However, we will attack the board coming up for Tuesday. Three up, three down, coming your way in 15 minutes here on Cashing Out. But, you know, I got to thinking because, I mean, sometimes it's just a dangerous place to be in my brain, but got to thinking about MVP. I have two bets that I like, two bets I've already placed. That is Joe Burrow at the top of the board. That one is around 9-1 to be the NFL MVP. Brock Purdy, I wrote it up in the VSiN NFL betting guide at 22-1. I still stand by that one, even with all the injuries and weirdness surrounding San Francisco 49ers camp. But I thought, you know what? We talk so much about MVP. We talk about the top of the betting board and how tough it is to figure out which guy is it going to be year in and year out to win this thing. Right now, Josh Allen's your favorite. He's 6-1. Lamar Jackson is 8-1. Joe Burrow, 8.5. Mahomes is 10-1. He is tied with Herbert and Drake May. Then you go 12-1 with Caleb Williams. Matthew Stafford and Dak Prescott are both 14-1. And Brock Purdy down to 18-1 right now in the betting market. I said, you know what have been the themes of the last 10 winners? Because I feel like every year we come in and everyone makes the same cases. Well, the top of the board, I understand why they're there. I don't know where the value is. Turns out, going back 10 years, there's value in this market. It is not always those favorites at the top. In fact, when you go back and look, 2025, Matthew Stafford, I got him 55-1, but really the number was 35-1. It jumped up to 55-1 when he had the back issue in training camp, you know, the quote-unquote back issue. And that's when I bet it, right here on this show, actually, right after Kirk Morrison said he doesn't believe it's real when he joined us from SiriusXM NFL Radio. So Stafford was 35-1. That's the number we'll put there. The year before that, Josh Allen was 8.5-1. Sure, that's really short. You understand why. Eventually, those are going to get home, you know, some years. In 2023, Lamar Jackson, 14-1. Sure, that's the top of the betting board, but it's not the very top. It's not one of the favorites in the market. Mahomes, 8-1 back in 2022. You absolutely understand that. He was one of the favorites heading into the season. In 2021, Aaron Rodgers, 11-1. In 2020, Aaron Rodgers, 30-1 to win the award. 19, Lamar Jackson, 40-1. Mahomes, 35-1. Brady, 2017, he was a true favorite, plus 385. Good God, that is such a short number year. As the Patriots that year were a very short number to win the Super Bowl. And then Matt Ryan, 75-1 to win NFL MVP, which I had to go back and check a couple articles to confirm that number was right. I did not realize how much of a surprise, you know, 10 years later, Matt Ryan and the Falcons were that year. Of course, everyone at Visa remembers that was the first. I believe that was the first Super Bowl Veasan was on the air, unless I'm getting my years wrong. Was it the following year? Bill A.D., if you're up late watching, which you usually are, can you confirm, wasn't it Falcons-Patriots 28-3? Wasn't that the first ever year of Veasan? I could be wrong about that. He will correct me, and I'll bring that information to you. Either way, I went back and looked through all the data, all the information. Six of the last 10 NFL MVPs were on the one seat. Two of 10 were on the two seat. So what does that tell us? Eight of the 10 were on the one or two seat, which means you need to be the one or two seed if you're going to win this award. The outlier is last year, Matthew Stafford, who was on the five seed in the NFC as they went 12-5, and the Los Angeles Rams just missed out with that matchup against the Seahawks in the regular season of being the top seed in the NFC. So that is the outlier here between these guys. But what were the team profiles of these teams? Because if you look back, you know, three of the 10 were on teams with Super Bowl odds under 15-1. Four of 10 were between 14-1 and 20-1. Three of 10 were 30-1 or longer. 2017, Tom Brady, only MVP from the Super Bowl favorite. So what are we looking for here as far as Super Bowl MVP is concerned? Well, there's a few things. You need to be the top seed in one of these conferences. Also, you need to be around 11 to 12 wins. 12 wins feels like the point that we're looking at just based on recent track record, but there's a world where 11 could get it done, but 12 is ideal. So who makes sense on the board? Who is the perceived value now? If we can figure that out, because to me, Josh Allen could win the award. I'll tip my hat. I'll say congratulations. It's 6-1. You won the award. Lamar Jackson at 8-1. Same deal there. I think there is value on Burrow at 8.5, 9-1, depending on where you shop to win this award. It's short though. And based on what I just told you, there's been plenty of opportunities to bet bigger numbers on guys who wind up winning the NFL MVP. In fact, here are four names that jump out to me, aside from the Purdy and the Burrow bet, that I ended up liking here coming into the season. And we're going to go back to the Denver Broncos. I know. I am becoming a Bo Nix stan. I can't believe I'm making this case right now. If you would have told me a year ago that I was going to tell you that Bo Nix is an MVP candidate in 2026, I would have said you were losing your mind. But the market believes Denver's taking a step back. I don't believe that's the case. At the very least, they're treading water. They're right there in the mix. The defense is loaded. It's going to keep them in games. What did they do the last 2 years with Bo Nix? Well, they let him step up in the fourth quarter. If he has these moments again, and he can continue to build upon what he's already done, and if you go back and look, not that he's Drew Brees, but year three of Bo Nix in Sean Payton's system, year three of Drew Brees in Sean Payton's system in New Orleans, that is when he took another step, when he hit another gear. Bo Nix is 35-1. Can the Broncos win 12 games? Absolutely. Can they be a one or two seed in the AFC? Absolutely. and he just got another weapon in Jaylen Waddle to play with. So now you're going to line up at receiver. You've got speed that kills. Bo Nix doesn't have to put the ball in harm's way, and those guys can take it the distance. Waddle on one end, Sutton in the slot. You've got Marvin Mims, who's electric with the speed. Troy Franklin, who's a true burner, and Evan Engram in that offense. I think 35-1, if you're looking at long shots, again, I'm just as shocked as you are that I'm making this case right now, but I think Bo Nix is worth a look in the MVP market if you're looking for a long shot. Now, these guys are not exactly what you'd call long shots. I wouldn't call them short shots either. They're somewhere kind of in that middle tier, which makes a lot of sense. The middle tier, I feel like, in a lot of these markets, that's where the value lays. They're not so short that they're unbettable. They're just long enough that you're intrigued, but sometimes you feel like you're being duped. You're being tricked. The book is convincing you to bet these guys because they're not going to come home. But I think one of these guys could. So I'm going to throw three names your way, and you tell me, at Dustin Sweetelson, at VSiN Live, and then you can email us, cashingout@vsin.com as well. You've got Dak Prescott 14-1. The stats are pretty consistent every year. He's going to return another season into this Brian Schottenheimer system. The defensive improvements might cut down on the possessions for Dallas, but might give Dak Prescott more marquee moments that you can make up as his MVP resume. If he has these fourth quarter wins, these big time throws, and if I'm being fair about Dak Prescott, I kind of felt like about him the way I used to feel about Bo Nix back in the day, but now I love Dak Prescott because if you watch him operate, it's one of those situations where as the experience has stacked on year after year, Dak Prescott has started to operate at a level really, I think, only second to Matthew Stafford at times in just running an offense, having full command of everything. And oh, by the way, in this offense, he's got one of the best 1-2 wide receiver combos that will make him look good. CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, two diverse guys play different roles in this offense. That'll certainly help the numbers for Dak, 14-1 for MVP. But can Dallas win the 12 games necessary? That's the question. Has the defense improved enough to do so? That is my bugaboo as far as betting him for MVP. Now, I am bullish on the Chicago Bears. I don't think 11 wins was a fluke a year ago, but I also don't know if they get back to 12. I don't know if they add another win onto last year's resume. 10 or 11 feels about right to me, which is, you know, win total of 9.5, why I lean slightly to the over. I wish the price was better on Caleb Williams at 12-1, but if people are believing that regression's coming, I don't really buy that. The schedule is a little bit harder than last year. Last year was still third hardest schedule in the league based on the prior year's win-loss records. But what if Chicago wins a brutal division and it's just a battle and Caleb Williams makes so many big-time throws in the fourth quarter again? I think Chicago, even at 10-11 wins, should have Caleb Williams in the mix for MVP. I don't think he needs to rely on the fourth quarter heroics because that's very difficult to do. But I think Detroit's overrated. I'm not impressed by Green Bay. And I think they could win the North. If they're kings of the North, I think Caleb has a chance. Then finally, the disrespect for my guy, Jalen Hurts. He's 28-1. And they can definitely be the one seed. And I don't think he's very accurate, but I don't think he needs to be because you can scheme him up and get to Super Bowls. You know, I know that. It's been done a couple times now in his career. No, the rushing touchdowns will help boost his stats on the season, which will make the MVP profile look a little bit greater. No A.J. Brown, I think that leads to a better functioning offense. No more obsession getting him the football, no more dealing with the temper tantrums. Also playing into what Hurts does best, which is short, efficient passes. I think the efficiency numbers go up. Hurts looks better. And if they win 12 games, 28-1 is a big number for NFL MVP. Little three up, three down, previewing the baseball card for Tuesday. That's forthcoming on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, buddy, it's been a fun one here on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. A reminder, if you missed any part of the program, couple ways to go back. One, the VSiN Watch app, always available to you. You can see on demand all the shows here on VSiN at your convenience. And also, download the program wherever you get your podcasts. On top of that, Use our intro offer right now. Sign up for as little as $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. What you will get, the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, the NFL Betting Guides, both of them come with your VSiN Pro. Adam Burke and our team here of editors and all of the experts here at VSiN do a tremendous job, whether it's power ratings, whether it's our own best bets for the season, team previews. It's all covered in both of those guides. Plus, with the VSiN Pro offer, you also get everything we do on the website, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, which I'm going to use now as part of our VSiN Morning Bet segment, and plus 24/7 video, as I mentioned, on the VSiN Watch app. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. With that, let's start to look ahead to Tuesday's baseball betting card, where I do have a few plays I threw up on the website to see those, VSiN.com/picks. And we'll do that with a little three up, three down. These are the pitchers who are hot, who are not coming into their starts. Just because we're highlighting them doesn't mean they're bet on or against. It's just worth noting who is on a run. And I'm shocked to say we're beginning this segment with Tyler Mahle, the Atlanta Braves starter. Acquired at the deadline via the San Francisco Giants. Is there a chance Atlanta saw something in Mahle that he was not utilizing with San Francisco and really for the better part of his career? Because he's been stupendous through two starts with Atlanta. Over his last five, though, going back to his time in San Francisco, Mahle has a 2.83 ERA, 32 strikeouts, 28 and two-thirds innings, and a .94 whip. But more importantly, highlighting his two starts as a member of the Atlanta Braves. We're talking about a 6-3 win against the Mets where he went six innings, one run, seven strikeouts. And at the Yankees, it was a loss, but six innings of shutout baseball with nine strikeouts. This wasn't a guy who missed a ton of bats in his career. What has gotten into him? Well, he's a -131 favorite on the road at Zebby Matthews and the Minnesota Twins. Total is 8.5. And you know what? I'm not even going to dive anymore into it. Give me Atlanta, -131. That's crazy. Great bounce back spot. Braves off of a loss on Monday night. Mahle's been electric. You're a little concerned on the road, but Zebby Matthews is a fade for me, and I think that's a decent price on a guy who's been really good first two starts in the ATL. Next starter we're going to look at here, let's go to St. Louis and Kyle Lahey. His last five starts, look at this, 2.25 ERA, strikeouts up a little bit as well, 30 punchouts in 28 innings for Kyle Lahey as St. Louis, three games out of the wild card in the National League. They're in Cincinnati, Great American Ballpark, taking on Andrew Abbott and the Reds. Cincinnati +102, Cardinals -123, 8.5 is the total. Jeff Erickson of Prop Points and RotoWire.com. He was with us earlier in the program. He likes the under, 8.5 in this contest. I like where his head is at there. Not enough for me to join, but Jeff's as sharp as it comes when it comes to betting on Major League Baseball. Lahey, last two starts, by the way, against Philly and Colorado, both five innings, one earned, two runs respectively, 6 and 8 strikeouts respectively for Kyle Lahey. And then finally, our third pitcher to highlight in three up, how about Toronto? Jose Soriano, they trade for him at the deadline. A plan for next year, we thought, but Toronto's not out of it for the AL wildcard. And his last four starts, and this is going back to his time with the Angels, 1.59 ERA, 19 strikeouts, 22 and two-thirds innings, and a 106 whip. But against Boston with the Blue Jays his last time around on Wednesday, six innings, one earned, four strikeouts. And at Philly on Friday, August 7th, 4 2/3, one earned, three strikeouts. A bit concerned with the walks, though. 2-3 in his last two starts for Soriano. So that'll probably keep me away from wanting to back Toronto. But I think he can be competitive enough on the road at Tampa Bay, where the Rays are -144. Toronto's +119. I would consider Toronto, again, concerned with the walks. Instead, I'm going to go under. Because if Soriano's good, Martinez is good again, which Nick Martinez defies the odds with the way he pitches to contact. I don't think there's going to be a ton of offense in this game. Give me the under 7.5 with the Blue Jays and the Rays at the Trop. That was three up. Now it's three down. And we could have went in a lot of different directions for three down. But here's where we're going to start. Jack Perkins for the A's. He's on the road at Kansas City. And he's been horrendous. An 8.25 ERA over his last five starts. A 1.71 whip. Sure, some of those have been at home. Plenty on the road as well for Perkins. Because he's pitching against Kansas City, Royals throwing Dustin Lynch. I took Kansas City earlier today, threw it up on the picks page around -131, I want to say. -130 on the Royals. It's now -143. I don't know if I love laying that much juice on a bad baseball team, but if we're going to use the two bad baseball teams in this matchup, the Royals and the A's, The lesser of two evils is Kansas City. There's no Nick Kurtz. There's no Tyler Soderstrom. There's no Shea Langeliers. The Athletics' offense is very beat up. I think Kansas City should get to Perkins. Dustin Litch can be competitive enough to keep them in the game. If you can get anything under minus 140, that's the direction I would look. North of that, I'd probably stay away from the Royals here just because you don't want to stack too many of those big prices betting favorites in Major League Baseball. The next three-down pitcher is Zach Wheeler. How about this? We went from celebrating prematurely our Cy Young tickets in the National League on Zach Wheeler to it's been tough road a hoeing for him here. Last five starts, a 6.04 ERA. Strikeouts are good. Whip's not good. 1.43. And he's going to see a familiar friend here on Tuesday because just four starts ago, that's when this thing really started to unravel. Three innings, five earned, two homers, six strikeouts at Miami. Well, now the fish are in town. Cade Gibson takes the bump. He's plus 205. Wheeler's minus 254. Total's 8. On principle, I think you have to consider Miami at plus 205 or plus 1.5. Wheeler should bounce back, right? Pitchers tend to bounce back after they get smoked by a team like he did the last time he saw Miami. But reality is, guys, he may just be losing steam as the season goes on, where he rehabbed all offseason from the thoracic outlet surgery, and he may not be right. So I would consider taking Miami. I don't know much about Cade Gibson, or maybe the plus 1.5, but I can't lay minus 254 or lay the run line at home with Wheeler, even if it gets home. It doesn't feel right before the game begins with how he's been looking this season. And then finally, let's go to Bryce Miller. He is our final three down to look at, our lowlights instead of highlight. Last four starts, a 6.65 ERA for him. Three of the last four, really bad. One okay one against Minnesota, but four straight losses for Seattle in his starts. At the Yankees, five earned in six innings. Versus Detroit, four earned in five innings. Before that, two earned in 5 1/3 versus Minnesota. And prior to that, at Texas, we're talking five earned in 5 1/3. No strikeouts there for Bryce Miller, who was on a pretty good run middle of the season, but disappeared recently. Seattle taking on Logan Henderson and the Brewers. See, this is one where I laid minus 148 earlier. It's up to minus 162. But I love Milwaukee if you can get a palatable price, maybe even going first five, laying the half a run. Harrison's numbers aren't stupendous, but Seattle is one of the worst teams against lefties on the season. You combine that with the fact that Seattle's offense isn't going to bring much to the table. Bryce Miller should be hit on the road at Milwaukee, a punchy team that puts the ball in play. Yeah, I like them a lot, Milwaukee, even at a big balloon price right now in the market against the Mariners. Then finally, my last play I haven't mentioned, I'm taking a flyer on the Diamondbacks. This is before I found out Ketel Marte was away from the team, though, for a personal matter. And it doesn't sound like he's returning anytime soon, based on what Torey Lovello, the manager of the Diamondbacks, said on Monday night.
All I know is that he's dealing with a personal issue. We're trying to figure that out. And you know, he didn't show up today, and he was put on the restricted list. That's as much as I know right now. I'm sure in time we'll start to uncover and unravel some information, but I knew that there was something going on today when I met with you guys, but I still believe he was going to be here, and he just didn't show up.
Yeah, look, I'm going to stand by my bet. It's +$1.50 right now in Arizona. I'll take them in a matchup against Ranger Suarez. Part of the handicap was that Arizona's really good against lefties, and Ketel Marte, unfortunately, is part of that, and hopefully everything works out okay for him as he's away from the team. And Torey Lovello's voice, the way that he looked, it sounded like, you know, kind of concerned right now about the future of Ketel Marte. I know we come from betting space, but there's a human element, too, where you just worry about people, and if you love baseball, you prefer Ketel Marte to be out there. I took the money, plus 150 on Merrill Kelly. It looks like it's down to plus 141 at Ranger Suarez and the Red Sox, minus 171. 8.5 is the total. I'll stand by it with Arizona. I still think that they can get the win without Marte there, but worth noting that it doesn't sound like he's going to be back in the next day or so for the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that's where we stand with the baseball. I'll also take a little San Diego minus 115 at the Mets and Zach Thornton. Zach Thornton's probably starting to come back down to earth after a really hot start. Doesn't miss a ton of bats. San Diego struggled offensively on Monday. I think they get right against a softer throwing lefty in Thornton on Tuesday night at minus 115. So that's where we stand with that. Stay with VSiN all day long as we got you covered every which way. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, they get you started on VSiN by the Books at 7 a.m. Eastern. Then at 10 a.m., it's a numbers game with Gil Alexander, followed by Prop Points at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It's all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.